Now I realize if you mark in your Bible and you write down and say, well, the preacher preached on this verse on this date, I'm sure that at least two different times, maybe three that I know of, I have used this passage of Scripture. And there is no doubt that these verses are inexhaustible, and there is no way that I have ever covered enough in these verses for us to say that it was complete. I know all there is to know about it. He's preached along these lines. I don't want to hear it. But let me also clarify and say this. This week when the Lord began to birth these verses into my heart again, I realized myself what an inadequate job I had done. But all week long I continued to run into this thought. If you'll stand with me this morning, Exodus chapter 12, we remember that the children of Israel are in bondage in the land of Egypt. And God has called Moses to be a deliverer to the people. And we realize that Pharaoh would not let the children of Israel go. God smote them with many plagues. And then in chapter 12, we remember there was the night that the Lord told them to put the blood on the sideposts and the lintel of the house. And we'll read these verses in verse number 12. This is God the Father speaking. He said, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Let me say this morning that this was not some death angel that was going through the land. It was God Himself. God speaking says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night." He says down there in verse 13, "And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." And as I've thought about these verses this week, and been out traveling and seeing folks visiting, even again last night, Sister Arlene McKinney, they were giving her some blood last night, Brother Keith, when I was over there. And I walked in and I saw the blood that someone had given. And it was there in a bag. And it was being transfused into her system because her blood was low. And it was certainly starting to pick her up. And I got to thinking again about the blood. I saw the blood last night. It wasn't the blood of Jesus. But I got to thinking when I had prayer with her last night before I left the room, I got to thinking about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I saw the blood that someone was giving her. But I'm glad, glory, hallelujah, when I began to pray, there was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that had atoned for my sins. And she's talked about her being saved. There was blood there last night, amen. Praise God for the blood that I saw. Now let me say this though. I believe with all my heart that God Himself saw the blood. When I see the blood. That's what God said. Wasn't me, wasn't you. God said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." I got me thinking about what does God see when He sees the blood? I'll tell you what He don't see. He don't see my sin. He don't see me as a stranger. He sees me as a son, glory, hallelujah. The Scripture does not say, "When I see the dead lamb, when I see his ashes, when I see your baptismal certificate." Now don't get mad at me. Believe what you want to believe, that's fine. But the Bible says He, God the Father, was looking for blood. The blood. It was the blood of the Lamb that had been selected without spot and without blemish, had been put up for some 3 days representing the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That Lamb, the Bible says in Exodus 12, was a Lamb.
When it was chosen, it became the Lamb. And glory to God, when you partook of it, it became your Lamb. Amen. I'm glad this morning He's my Lamb. I want to preach this thought this morning. What does God see when He sees the blood? That's what He's looking for. Lord, we just commit this service into Your hands. I pray, God, You'd make preaching easy this morning. Give us understanding. I pray, God, You'd take it deep. Help us to understand. And I pray, Lord, You'd save somebody today. God, I pray You'd move upon us in a mighty way. Help us, Father, I pray, in spirit and in truth to preach the gospel by Your power. And God, I ask, Father, You'd hear us when we say, thank You for saving me. Thank You, Lord, for giving Your life for me. Thank You, God, for all the blessings You sent my way. Thank You, God, for the souls You've saved this week. For those You've saved in this church, God, right before our very eyes. Lord, I praise You for that this morning, God. And I ask, Father, You to help us this morning to have the liberty that only Spirit can give. For this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. What does God see when He sees the blood? I want to say, first of all, I believe that He sees the redemption of sinners. Now, if you would just for a second, by way of application, think about this. That blood of the Lamb that was slain had to be taken and it had to be put on the two side posts of the house. It had to be applied and it had to be put up on top of the lintel of the house. And in doing so, I believe that this represents the redemption of sinners. Why? Well, He's coming that night looking for blood. And if that blood's not put or not applied to the house, I'm telling you, He's going to come, and the firstborn of that household's going to die. Every place throughout Egypt where there was no blood, there was sorrow because death had entered into that place. Amen? Now, if you'll think just for a minute, I believe that that blood represents the blood that Jesus shed on the cross. If you think about it, that up and down motion and that side to side motion represents the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed on the cross. That Lamb's blood was pointing to the cross of Calvary that our Savior would bear. Amen? And go there. Now, I get to thinking about that. You and I were slaves. We were shackled up in sin. There was no hope for us. But when we called on Jesus, believing in the blood that He shed, in His death and in His burial and in His resurrection, in that you and I have been set free. No longer shackled, no longer enslaved. We have been redeemed. I believe it represents the redemption of sinners. Understand, this redeeming process represents a purchase. Not a probation, but a purchase. If there's going to be a purchase, there must be the right person to purchase. Do you understand this person who's going to make the purchase of one that's enslaved and one that is in shackles to sin? He must be rightly related to the one that's in trouble. In other words, he must be a kinsman redeemer. Can't just be anybody, can't be some stranger. He has to be a nigh kinsman. Amen. I'm glad this morning that when we look at the cross of Calvary, we see the right person. We see the redeeming person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only that, but there has to be a redeeming price or a right price. God said that the only way someone can be saved or can be redeemed, the only way that the Lord is going to pass over them that night is if their shed blood applied. The price is blood. And that price was agreed on. That was God's word. You hear me. You go down to Walmart. You may not like to pay $3.09 for that little box of oatmeal that you bought. You may say, I don't think it's fair. But guess what happened? You picked it up anyway. You put it in your buggy. You pushed it right down through there. You waited there. And that man or that little girl got your groceries out, standing. It said $3.09. And throw it there in the bag. And in doing so, when you brought it up there, you agreed to pay $3.09 for that box of oatmeal. You agreed at that price. That was the price that was stated When you pick it up and you agree that I'll pay that for it, and if you're going to carry it out of the store, you've got to pay that price. God said the only way the sinner's going to be saved is there's got to be blood. Jesus, knowing that, hearing that statement, says, I agree that that's a high price, but it's a fair price for those that I love. I'll give my blood. I'll pay the price. So there's a right person, a redeeming person, and there's a right price or a redeeming price. And thirdly this morning, I want you to think about this. There's a redeeming process. Once that price had been paid for your box of oatmeal, you might put it under your arm or you may get it in a bag and carry it out. But you ain't leaving that store, sister, until you paid the price. The only way there's going to be a purchase is that you have paid the price. And in doing so, you carried away your purchased possession and out the door you went. Guess what happened, glory to God, in the redeeming process? You and I were all sinners on our way to hell. And but the right redeeming person came along named Jesus. Saw you enslaved. Saw you shackled and said, I love them. I created them. And the Father said, the only way they can be set free is there must be a price that's paid. What is the price, Father? The price is the blood. He says, I'll give my life for the old sinner. I'll set him free. Glory to God when he died upon the cross and shed his blood. Amen. They put him in the grave there, glory to God. On the third day, got up victorious over death and hell. And he took his own precious blood and he walked right into the Holy of Holies and he began to sprinkle the blood. 7 times he sprinkled it upon the mercy seat there. Hey, glory to God, you know what happened? He said, I've come in here with my blood. And guess what? He walked right back out with his purchased possession. Who is that? It's called the church, glory to God. He done bought us, paid for us, and redeemed us, and carried us, and set us free. I say this morning, when God sees the blood, He sees you and me not as sinners. He sees us as His purchased possession. We belong to Jesus, church. Glory to God, I'm not belonging to this world anymore. Oh, glory to God. Let me go, amen. Second of all, I've got to be quick. Second of all, when God sees the blood, He sees the remission of sin. I want y'all to help me out this morning. This side over here, y'all looking? Look at me. This side over here, I want you to sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Stop. Do it again. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? You know what He's looking for this morning? He's looking for the blood. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 22, it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Hey, He's not looking for your baptismal certificate for the washing away of your sin. No, He's not looking for your church attendance where you got a little star by your name for 13 weeks in a row because you went to Sunday school. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. He sees the blood. That's how our sins are remitted. Did not say without your baptism. Did not say without your church attendance. He said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of our sins. Now, how wonderful it is to be purchased. Ain't that good this morning? But guess what? My sinful past has still got to be dealt with. What now, preacher? Listen, in the Old Testament, this is going to go deep for you, and probably after the service is over, you're going to try to hem me up, but honey, I got Bible for it, so you get ready. In the Old Testament, sins were removed, but remained. What, preacher? In the book of Job, chapter 14, verse 17, Job said, my transgression is sealed up in a bag. Put in a bag. And he said, thou sewest up my iniquity. He took his iniquity from him and put from him and put it in a bag. It's removed from him. It's removed from Job. But it still remains. That bag is somewhere. You're looking at me funny. Let me go a little further than that. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 38, verse number 17, "For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back." They've been removed from me, amen, but they remain somewhere behind his back. The book of Micah chapter 7 says, "Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." They've been removed from you, but somewhere they remain in the depths of the sea. That's in the Old Testament. But you hear what I'm going to tell you. When God's perfect Lamb came to this world in the New Testament, He came as a one-time sacrifice, not just to remove my sins that they may remain, but John said it best in the book of John. The Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Hey! That tells me that my sins may be removed and they'll no longer remain. Hey, glory to God. Get this, y'all. He went to the cross and according to the Scripture, He bore our sins as He went to the cross. He was made sin. He that had knew no sin was made our sin for us. He went to the cross. Do y'all agree? He gave His life there. Guess what? He shed blood. Glory to God, He shed blood. Hallelujah. They took Him off the cross, Joseph of Arimathea did. Wrapped Him up in some linens and put some fine spices on Him and put Him in front of in a new tomb there. And the Roman soldiers or someone rolled a stone in front of the tomb and sealed it and said, "It's over. It's done." But you and I know on the third day, up from the grave, He arose. My sin was buried with Him, covered by the blood, buried with Him in the tomb, amen. Still a little blood for it. But when He got up, my sin didn't get up with Him. You ask me why I'm happy, and I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Woo! He got up, hallelujah, and my sin did not get up with Him. He got up in a glorified body, but my sin, glory to God, has been remitted. It has been taken away, never to be brought up against me anymore. Woo! When He sees the blood, He sees our sins being remitted. Thirdly, when He sees the blood, He sees the reconciliation to the sovereign. You see, there was a great divide between sinful man and a holy God. And it was our sins. Adam and Eve fell in the garden, and death was passed upon all men. The Bible says that the soul that sinneth, it must die. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. You and me were dead in trespasses and in sins. And you and I were at enmity with God. I was a God hater and a God cusser and a defiler and an immoral person and a drinker and a drug addict. We was all those things. Murderers, extortioners. We were sinners at best. And we were not at peace with God. Now peace means there's no friction. I ought to ask you if you got peace in your home. Let me say this morning. We were strangers and aliens and outcasts and foreigners to the grace of God. We were without hope and without God in this world. But Jesus, when He went to the cross and shed His blood and put that blood on the mercy seat, the day I bowed at the Balfour Baptist Church and I called on the Lord Jesus Christ, asking Him to forgive my sin and wash me in His blood, asking Him, "Would you save my sin-sick soul and let me go to heaven?" Glory to God. Romans chapter 5, verse number 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad this morning my soul's not troubled. I've not been out of shape over anything. I have peace with God because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What could I do to make peace with God? I was a sinner. What could I do to make peace with God? I was a dead man in trespass and sin. But Jesus' blood, glory to God, has closed the great divide and given us a bridge, amen, to get to God. He's reconciled us, hallelujah, this morning. And now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ain't you glad for the blood this morning? Not only that, but fourthly, there is now, when He sees the blood, He sees recognition in the sanctuary. According to Scripture, I am taught that through and only through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have access to the throne of a Most High God. To what? To pray. You think about it. The first point dealt with our purchase. And the second point has dealt with our past. And the third point has dealt with our peace. But fourthly now, you and I have the ability to pray. God said in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16, that we may come boldly under the throne of grace. Amen. That we may what? Obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You see, when God sees the blood, when He sees the blood that is atoned for my soul, He allows me access to come before His throne to pray. Now, when I'm come to His throne, the Bible says I'm to cast all my cares upon Him because He cares for me. Y'all are looking at me funny this morning. Let me try to give two quick illustrations. My good buddy this week been having revival, been 4 weeks at his church, told it in the prayer room. Had revival 4 weeks at his church. Friday night there's in service, good service, but it wasn't breaking out, not like it had every other night. Souls, 40, 50, 60 been saved, numbers and scores of them. And the preacher said, I was sitting there on the front row, looked over at the evangelist, thinking, man, what's going to happen tonight? Kind of, choir's not on top tonight, and they ain't shouting it out, and nobody's jumped the pew and took off running yet. What's going on? About that time, little boy in a wheelchair, he'd been sitting back there from time to time, putting his little handicapped arm up like this, trying to praise the Lord. I don't see many of y'all doing that, but he's trying to praise the Lord in service. And he rolled himself up in a wheelchair. He rolled all the way to the altar, up in front of everybody, but he wasn't there for y'all to see. He'd come before God. He bowed himself there and he tried to pray. And just a little bit, he leaned up on the front of his wheelchair and he jumped out of it. Now, he's completely handicapped and an invalid. And when he kind of leaned and jumped out of it, he collapsed out of that wheelchair right down on the altar where he bounced and just proceeded to lay there on the floor and began to say, oh God, would you send the power just now? And about that time, the preacher said, God smote my heart and said, I've done everything for you. I saved you from a devil's hell. I give you access to come before a holy throne that you might pray and obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. I've been in revival with your church for 4 weeks and saved all these sinners. And you're sitting there in the front row saying, well, it ain't no good tonight. I wonder what's going to happen. I mean, who's going to do what to break it out? He said, I just, that little boy wanted it. He come up here and he began, and because he's praying, I'm going to send it. And about that time, the preacher said, it broke my heart that that little boy was up there praying like that. And here I was, the pastor of the church. He said, I just scrooched up beside him and began to call on Jesus. And I got to thinking, the only way you and I could ever pray, the only way you and I could ever come before Him when our young ones are sick and our families are in trouble and they need to be saved is because of the blood, amen. That's what gets us into the throne room where things can happen. There's a little old boy. He's in a wheelchair too. And he was a dying. And the community was taking up money to try to help him and take a last trip. And they said, Sonny, where do you want to go? He said, I want to go up there and see the king. And I want to go to his palace. And they had every grocery store and all the convenience stores that had them jars out. And every sandwich shop that was putting in money. And they raised enough money to get him from that little village where he lived to take him all the way up there to the royal city. They got him and put him in the vehicle and brought him to the place. And they got him out and they rolled him up there. Wasn't no ramps up. So they carried him up all them steps. And as they got to the door, the guard stood there and looked and said, "No entrance." And they said, "Oh, but he's sick. And we bought the money and come all the way on this trip. He just wants to see the king and the palace. He loves him." No entrance. Identification. Well, they showed him identification. They said, "We don't know who you are. Do you have an invitation? Have you been invited by the king to come in?" "No. We just thought we can't get in." And the guard stood there. And the boy was so disappointed. He'd worked so hard. His family worked so hard. His friends had worked so hard. His dying request was to see the king. He begins to cry. They carry him back down the steps. He's turned away. No access. But as he starts to go back down that little old cobblestone walkway, back out there where the cars are parked, there comes a man walking. He says, "What's wrong, my son?" He said, "I want to see the king, but I don't have the right identification, and I don't have the invitation. I can't get in, and I'm dying." He said, "Son, you just come with me." And they got him. That man walked him up there, and as he walked up the steps and carried that young man up the steps, the great guard that stood there that had said no access stepped back and stood at attention. And walked that man and the boy. And he walked up, and there sat the king on a lofty throne. And the boy began to weep. "I'm so happy to be here. I thought I'd never get in." And he heard the man on the throne say to the man that got him in, "Son, who's your friend?" He said, "I just met him." He was shut out. He just wanted to see you. But he couldn't get in. He said he didn't have the right identification. He said he didn't have an invitation. But he said, "Father, I give my life for him, that he might come before you and call on your holy name." And the Father said, "Accepted in the Beloved." I'm glad this morning, when I was shut out and had no invitation and did not have the right identification, that I have been invited into the throne of the Most High and of the Holy God, that I might seek His face and pray about issues in my life. And I'm welcome to come in because Jesus shed His blood for me. So when I come to the house of God, I'm not shut out. I'm invited and welcomed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let me say furthermore, fifthly, there is the retaining of salvation. Though I have been purchased, though my past has been dealt with, though I have peace with God, though I have access and I can pray, I can't keep myself saved. I mean, if it was up, I mean, I am saved, but if it were up to me, I'll sin again and I'd be lost again. And there's nothing I can do about it. But guess what? I found out when He sees the blood, it has a keeping power, a preserving ability. It says when the blood has been applied, Lord of God, it cannot be washed away. It cannot be wiped off. It's there forever. Hallelujah to God. Hey, glory. When He sees the blood, amen. He says, "I'm preserved forever. I have eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Boy, that excites my soul to death this morning. I've been preserved through Him who shed His blood. Glory to God. I'm not just talking about conversional cleansing. I'm talking about continual cleansing. He said, "If I'd confess my sins, He'd be faithful and just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness." I'm preserved through the blood of Jesus. Last of all, I'm done. I see the removal of the saints. You know, He made a promise. He says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me."
hey, because I believe in the shed blood, amen. He said, I'm coming back and I'm going to remove my saints at the rapture. And when he comes, guess how he's going to do it? He's looking for a mark on your heart, on your soul. And he says, when I see the blood, come go with me. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we are going to be removed. Why? Because of the blood. You see, therefore then, he don't see me and he don't see you. He sees the blood. Woo! Hallelujah to God. Stand to your feet this morning. Can I say this today? When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, you know what? It was the blood of those animals that the Lord took their blood to cover their nakedness that forgave Adam and Eve's sin in the garden. It was the blood. You'll not read where he baptized them. You'll not read when they attended Sunday school and got stars by their name. You'll read where God took animals and shed their blood to cover their nakedness. When Cain and Abel came to present a sacrifice, one came by works of the field, one came by blood. God said, I accept the blood, but I reject your works. But if you'll come by blood, you'll be accepted. He refused and killed his brother. You see here, Israel is in bondage 400 years. God says, I'm going to take y'all out of the bondage of Egypt, out of the bondage of this world. I'm going to remove you. How are they going to get out? By the blood. Hey! Church, I say this morning, what is he looking for? He's looking for the blood. You've either had a one-on-one experience with him and called on his name and asked him to forgive your sins and save your soul and the blood is atoned and you're on your way to heaven, or you've not. And if you've not, if he's dealt with you today, you still can. You can be saved today. There might be some of you who'd say, you know what, preacher? I'm saved. But I have no idea. When I think about the blood, just what God was seeing. And preacher, it makes me so thankful for the blood. Oh, what a ministry the blood of Jesus has been in my life. It made the difference. Your heads are bowed. Someone come to the instruments this morning. I'm done. Preach what God gave me to preach. I wonder, as they somebody in this building today would say, preacher, I need to be saved. Would you come this morning? I want to say somebody in this building say, preacher, I just want to get on my knees and thank Jesus for the blood. Oh, it saved me. Oh, it's washed away my sin. Might be somebody say, I got something to tell him this morning. Some sin to confess. Some relationship I need to talk to him. But some hindrance in my life I need to talk to him about. Might be somebody this morning, you need to slip up to the old-fashioned altar. Say, Lord, I want to thank you. You give me access to prayer. Don't use it like I ought to. But boy, I sure am glad to have it. And I want to go this morning by the blood of Calvary, by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and fall before your throne and thank you and bless your holy name for the blessings you sent my way. I bet if that little old boy that was in a wheelchair was here this morning, he'd roll it right up here and fall on his face and his altar before God. Hey, if he can do that, why would I wait? And why would I tarry? I want to say to somebody here today, say, preacher, I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand all this morning? You may say, preacher, I'm an altar every Sunday. I'm an altar every Sunday. Oh, it's a good place to stay. Hey, man, ain't nothing wrong with coming to altar and just saying, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me, for the goodness you've shown my family. God, I pray you save somebody. God, would you help somebody today in the house of God? Would you come this morning? Lord Jesus, as we bow, we thank you this morning, Father, for the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary
that we might be saved, that I might be redeemed, that I might be purchased. Father, that I might have my past dealt with, my sins would be removed, they would be taken away, never to be brought up against me anymore. And Lord, that same blood has preserved me, saved forever. Hallelujah. I am so thankful. And God, as I pray this, Lord, I know I can only do so by the power and by the access of the shed blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I want to say this morning, Father, that I thank you for the blood. And I thank you that when you look according to the Scripture, you said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. As that night death came to all those families, thank God today that death does not have to come upon the Christian. It may come physically, but we'll leave this world, and when we take our last breath here, we'll take our first breath in glory. Hallelujah to God for such a privilege and such a promise. Lord, we thank you for the blood that's going to remove us from this world one blessed day. Lord, all these petitions, this prayer, and this time of thanksgiving we make known in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, pleading the power of His blood. Amen and amen.